recognition of that falsity of material wealth as the standard of success goes hand in hand with the abandonment of the false belief that public office and high political position are to be valued only by the standards of pride of place and personal profit. And there must be an end to a conduct in banking and in business which too often has given to a sacred trust the likeness of callous and selfish wrongdoing.
So they did it this week. They finally have what they have longed for, well, since the last time we had an economic crash in 2008 and then 1987 and go on from there. At this point, as we come to an end, here in 2017, the Republicans, under President Donald Trump, now have their first, you heard me, their first major legislative victory of his administration. And it's a big one. So I'm going to get into the details today about what this means for you, what this might mean for you. Some of the things that we thought were going away did not go away. Some of the things that we knew were going away, oh, they definitely went away. And today marks the clock. I mean, start the clock now. This is how we start counting down to the next economic crash. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin, and I appreciate so much that you're here. Firing off right now, episode number 233.
Do you think it's a good idea to cut Medicaid by $1 trillion, cut Medicare, cut education, cut environmental protection in order to give $1.9 trillion in tax breaks to the wealthiest people in this country? What percentage of the folks do you think would say, oh, yeah, that's a really
great
good
idea? I'm afraid we're making real low numbers.
I mean, you'll look at single digits.
Yeah,
okay.
There we are.
And yet, and here is the crisis of our time. Nobody believes that what the Republicans are talking about makes any sense at all. Every poll that we have seen, whether it was health care, whether it's taxes, overwhelming opposition. But there is a group of people, we've got to be honest about this, there is a group of people who think this is a tremendous idea. And those are a handful of billionaire families who in this election cycle will spend many hundreds of millions of dollars to elect the candidates who support this crap.
It's not like we didn't know that it was coming. The conservatives are pretty outright about this. And it doesn't really matter that this type of tax policy has never, ever worked before. I mean, never, ever. Not in this country, not in any country. But it doesn't matter because it's a religion. And when you believe in anything and it becomes a religion, it doesn't matter if it's real or not, if it works or not. What matters is that it works for you. And if you believe it solidly, then that makes it true. So there's an article over at CNN.money.com, and I'm going to give you the bullet points, but I want to encourage you to seek out this article yourself because in the article, they've put a calculator where you can put in your income and it'll give you what your new tax rate is going to be. So the headline, 34 things that you need to know about the incoming law. First thing is, this is the first significant reform of the U.S. tax code since 1986. And then, of course, in 1987, we had a stock market crash. So that's why I say start the clock now. Changes have been made to both individual and corporate taxes, but the corporate taxes never, ever expire. Their rates are low forever. The benefits that you might see as a working person, the short-term benefits, and I highlight that, will expire by the end of 2025. Tax reform will increase deficits by $1.5 trillion. That's easy. I anticipate a total transfer of wealth from working people to the top 1% of about $5 trillion. In the first draft of the bill that they had, the conservatives caught a lot of heat because 63% of the benefits in that first bill went to the top 1/10 of 1%. 63% to the top 1/10 of 1%. So it makes it to the House and the Senate, and then they got to reconcile it, and they go back, and then they come out with the new one that they voted on, right? And the new one gives 93% of the benefits to the top 1/10 of 1%. The standard deduction has essentially been doubled. For single filers, the standard deduction has increased from $6,350 to $12,000. For married couples filing jointly, it's increased from $12,700 to $24,000. But the personal exemption is gone. You could claim a $4,050 personal exemption for yourself, your spouse, and your dependents, which lowered your taxable income. That has now gone away. The state and local deduction now has a $10,000 cap. The alternative minimum tax. Now, this was something written in specifically for Donald J. Trump, although it is going to benefit quite a few wealthy people. The alternative minimum tax. For the 1 year of tax returns that we have for Trump, 2005, in that year, the AMT was the only tax that he paid in that particular year. It appears that he may not be paying any taxes whatsoever from here on out. The mortgage interest deduction has been lowered. For anyone buying a new home, they will only be able to deduct the first $750,000 of their mortgage debt. That's down from $1 million. So that's not that bad. This is an important one. This will not affect, I know, because here in about a week, the calendar is going to turn. And we're going to be doing our taxes. And, oh my God, what do I do in the new? This won't affect your 2017 taxes. And as a matter of fact, this won't really start taking effect, full effect, until 2018. So to my progressive brothers and sisters that feel, I hated to see this because I wanted this thing to go down in flames because this wasn't written for you and I. This was written for the donors in the Republican Party. It's a well-known fact that small donors, you know, the people who give $5, $10, $15, $100 to, and yeah, that's considered a small donation, to the Republican Party, to Republican candidates, those numbers have been dropping over the last number of years. The Republican Party is well-funded, but the vast majority of it, well over 90% of it, comes from large donors. So when the Republican Party decided to write this bill, they didn't have you and I in mind. They had their donor class, the people that fund the Republican Party, which is not working people. And I wanted this thing to go down in flames because those donors who were not quiet about this said that if this thing does not pass, then they can kiss their donations goodbye, which effectively, because without money, you're nothing in this moneyed system, which would have meant the absolute end of at least this version of the Republican Party. What this means is that they survive another year, but people around Trump right now are warning him that based on this and some of the other things that he's done of late, that 2018 could be a bloodbath for him. Not a literal bloodbath. Let's be careful about things that we say into the microphone, Melvin. So you can still deduct student loan interest. You can still deduct medical expenses. And there was a provision that Republicans had stripped out. So they gave a provision for private jet owners, that they can write off their private jets. But then they took away the $250 deduction for teachers to buy classroom supplies. Well, that got put back into the final bill. So you can still deduct those classroom supplies. The electric car tax credit still lives on. Home sellers who turn a profit, they can still keep their tax break. Now, here's another interesting change. 529 plan, which are college savings plans. And you get a tax benefit from 529 plans. The 529 plans can now be spent on charter schools and religious schools. So that was one of the changes in the tax law. Tuition waivers for grad students remain tax-free, but you no longer get a tax deduction for your alimony payments. This one doesn't affect me, but there are people in this audience that it may or may not. The deduction for moving expenses, gone. That's it. They got rid of that. And you can no longer deduct the cost of tax preparation. That's it. The disaster deduction. So, quoting here, losses sustained due to firestorm, shipwreck, or theft that aren't covered by insurance used to be deductible, assuming they exceeded 10% of your adjusted gross income. But now, through 2025, people can only claim that deduction if they've been affected by an official national disaster. That would make someone whose house was destroyed by a California wildfire potentially eligible for some relief while disqualifying the victim of a random house fire. This is a weird one. I used to try to claim this one. The reimbursement for bicycle commuters. I used to do this. They got rid of that. That's gone. And the estate tax. This was another big one for Mr. Donald J. Trump. The estate tax, which the Republicans call the death tax, so that it sounds like it actually affects you because everybody dies. That's just good marketing for them to call it the death tax. It wasn't eliminated completely, but fewer people will have to deal with it. So it used to be if you had $5.5 million as an asset as for an individual, or $11 million as a couple, then you had to pay the estate tax. You know, you upon your death, you had to pay the estate. I mean, we're only talking about millionaires and billionaires. So those numbers have been doubled. So it's now $11 million for an individual and $22 million. See, but this doesn't affect you and I, unless there's a millionaire listening, which I super duper doubt. But this is just another tax break for super wealthy people. All right. So, and of course, the individual mandate has been scrapped. And I've been getting this question. Oh my God, did they kill Obamacare? Yes and no. So the number of people that signed up for Obamacare before December 15th, which was the cutoff this year, the Trump administration reduced the cutoff. So the same amount of the people that signed up this year is about the same amount of people that signed up last year. So there's a ton of people that are still being benefiting from the ACA, but they got rid of the individual mandate. If you'll remember, when the ACA went before the Supreme Court, the Obama administration was just waiting inside the Oval Office when the news came down that, oh my God, they have made a decision on the ACA. And they were just, you know, clasping their hands and, oh my goodness gracious, I hope they did not get rid of the individual mandate. I hope they did not get rid of the individual mandate. And then the decision came down and the Supreme Court did not get rid of the individual mandate. They said that it falls under the government's rights to charge a tax, which then led to conservatives calling it the Obamacare tax and all kinds of other dumb things. But anyway, so the reason they didn't want that to die, because that's part of how the ACA is paid for, because young people who feel invincible will simply say, I do not want to get health care. Nothing's going to happen to me. And then when they get 30, 40, 50, they go, oh my God, I need health care. And you can't do that. You don't just get to jump into the system when you need something, because we all pay for one another. And that's one of the ways that we keep costs down. That's the idea behind the system in Canada and in Europe. So the individual mandate made you either A, buy a plan, or B, pay a fine for not joining in and helping cover healthcare costs. Well, that's now gone away. So as of 2018, you're not going to have health insurance and you're not going to have to pay the fine. So what does that mean for the calendar year of 2018? Well, nothing. I mean, you just go on with things as they were. Although the Trump administration is threatening to not make the subsidy payments into the ACA, because they're simply saying that they just shouldn't have to because wah, wah, and they're throwing a tantrum about it. So for 2018, nothing. But After that, you're going to see Obamacare start to die. This isn't just going to raise your ACA payments. This is going to raise everybody's insurance, because you're going to go back to a market where fewer and fewer people are insured. Trump told us before he came in that he was going to repeal and replace, and that was the song that they sang for 7 years while Obama was president. 8 years if you count this calendar year. Repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. So they repealed, and there's no replacement. and they said a replacement is coming, and the replacement is going to be the greatest freaking thing ever. Ugh, how can every damn thing that he says be the greatest, the most awesome, the most unbelievable, the most... Ugh. People who use hyperbole are worse than Hitler. All right, couple other things, then I want to go ahead and move on. Of course, you won't be able to file your tax return on a postcard. That was the whole slogan. You're going to be able to file your tax return on a postcard. That's not happening. Whoa, is that super duper not happening? There's an entire industry behind tax preparation. And any time conservatives can send more of your money into the private sector, they're going to do that. So the whole thing about being able to post your, you know, or file your taxes on a little beautiful postcard, that's not happening. The corporate tax rate is coming down from 35 to 21% at every single point in history. The times that the economy has done the best, or certainly better than others, is when that tax rate was over 50%. Because what happens when that tax rate is over 50%? Nobody wants to pay that amount of tax. So in order to avoid that amount of tax, they start putting money back into their company, which then will not be taxed at the same rate, if it's taxed at all. The point of a high tax rate is never to honestly collect that tax. When we had a top marginal tax rate of 91%, it was never ever about collecting 91% of somebody's income. It was about making them put it, you know, not pay themselves as much as a CEO or put that money back into the company so they don't have to pay that rate. And that's what keeps money in the economy. But these guys have cut the corporate tax rate from 35 to 21%. By the way, nobody pays 35%. Nobody. And nobody will pay 21%. As a matter of fact, with the dropping of the tax rate, there's quite a few corporations that will pay a big, fat zero. Zero. Pass-through entities will get a tax break. The tax burden by owners, partners, and shareholders of S-corporations, LLCs, and partnerships, I have one of these, who pay their share of the business taxes through their individual tax returns, has been lowered via a 20% deduction. I'm going to have to look into this one a little bit more. I know that after this expires, my tax rate for pass-through or on my business goes from 30 to 40%. So, you know, that's in 10 years. I mean, who knows what I'll be doing in 10 years. But I like to try to stay on top of the stuff anyway. But for the short term, it says that I'm going to get a break for that. I'll be curious about that. I'll let you know after I actually do my taxes. There's a provision to rein in executive pay at nonprofits. Hold on. There is a provision in the tax code to rein in the bloated compensation for people that work for nonprofits. Just brr. But there's not one for for-profit corporations, only for nonprofits. And businesses won't be able to write off sexual harassment settlements. Quoting here, New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, amendment born of the Me Too movement, made it all the way through. Companies can no longer deduct any settlements, payouts, or attorney's fees related to sexual harassments if the payments are subject to non-disclosure agreements. It's a massive tax bill, and they were making changes to the tax bill even in the final hours of its passage. Just wildly, wildly unprofessional. But this is exactly what we have right now. So there were no hearings. There was no debate. There was no discussion. And there were absolutely no Democratic votes. Not in the House, not in the Senate. In the House, a few Republicans voted against it. In the Senate, none. That didn't happen. So when we know the full effect of this tax bill, they will not be able to turn to the Democrats and go, hey, they voted for it too. See, they did this. They do this with just about anything that they pass. For example, the Iraq War. There were a few Democrats that voted for the Iraq War. And then when the Iraq War went sideways, they go, oh, well, Democrats voted for it too. Why aren't you going after the Democrats? So when this gigantic, heaping, steaming pile of crap finally becomes apparent to everybody, they're not going to be able to turn and say, the Democrats did it too.
We are doing exactly what we criticize Democrats doing with Obamacare. The difference is that was a real process. It was a lot of time in which that was vetted out, and Republicans were balking at that process at the time. So this is stands in stark relief as something that is outside of the normal process. You know, everyone's talking about regular order. We want to do this the right way. You have leadership talking about, we've been doing this for 4 years. No, you haven't. And the American people know that. And at the end of the day, they're going to rush through a bill because now they've lost a seat in Alabama. They definitely don't want to do this with Jones coming in the door to have a vote. They want to get it done. They want to get it to the president's desk so they can, you know, slap each other on the back and say, look what we did. Let's get ready to go win elections next year. But unfortunately, the American people, I think, are paying a lot more attention to this. And the numbers don't add up. And a lot of folks are going to realize those tax cuts they're talking about go away after a certain period of time. They're permanent for corporations. They're not permanent for individuals and the middle class. And I think it's going to be a hard sell to the American people next year.
So your winners and losers from this particular bill are, of course, Donald Trump and his family, which benefit from many of the bill's provisions. Big corporations, these are your winners. Multi-millionaires, private equity managers, private schools, and the people who can't afford them. That's the whole 529 thing, and the liquor business. So here in the Inland Northwest, we have a lot of microbreweries. And our representative, our horrible, horrible, horrible representative, Jamie Herrera Butler, went ahead and voted for this gigantic pile of crap. And she's been on her Facebook page trying to sell us this crap sandwich for, well, ever since she voted on it. She voted yes on it 3 times. She voted on the initial bill. Then she voted on it after the reconciliation of the bill went through. And then, of course, because they passed this thing so quickly, without any debate, without any consideration of what's even in it, it had to go back to the House again before it went to the president. And she voted on it again. She voted on it 3 times. And what she's trying to say to us is that the local breweries are going to get this gigantic tax cut, and that's why she did it. And don't pay attention to any of the other crap that's in it. But I don't care. See, I don't need cheap alcohol. I don't want cheap alcohol. What I would like is for corporations to pay their fair share so that we can put more money into infrastructure. I would like to have a healthcare system that includes everybody. See, this kills it in a big way for me, because I've expressed on this mic ever since I started the business that I am struggling with the healthcare portion of it, because I'm making a fair amount of money in the business, but as far as healthcare goes, well, that gets a little stickier. So I was exploring the option of the ACA, but with the ACA being effectively killed, it'll die a slow death, but it'll be killed over the next couple of years because of the provision in this bill that got rid of the individual mandate. That really just guarantees that I'm not going to be able to find another way to get healthcare. So my options are as follows. Keep working 2 jobs, which I don't want to do. Kill the business, which I most certainly do not want to do, because holy hell, I've never been paid so much money for having fun. It's effing ridiculous. Or simply go down to the one job, the business, and just go without health care. But I'm a man of elevated age, and I don't know that would be the best option for me. I'm healthy now, but cancer is going around, and sometimes people get hit by trucks. So I really, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have any good options. So the fact that there's going to be a cut on the taxes for liquor, I don't care. I don't need cheap. Nobody needs cheap booze. I don't mind paying more for it. It's a luxury. It's not necessary. I don't mind. So her whole thing, but this is going to mean cheaper beer. No, I don't need cheaper beer. Nobody needs cheaper beer, Jamie. Tax accountants, lawyers, architects, engineers, winners, 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 losers, people buying health insurance, individual taxpayers in the future, of course, the elderly, low-income families. This bill nails low-income families, which is just amazing. So the dum-dums who voted for Trump, by and large, people in high property tax, high-income states. Puerto Rico had sought an exemption from new taxes, citing the frail state of its economy after Hurricane Maria. The tax bill treats affiliates of American companies on the island as if Puerto Rico were a foreign country and imposes a 12.5% tax on intellectual property. Puerto Rico's governor, Ricardo A. Rosello, said the tax would hurt the biomedical and technology affiliates that make up about a third of Puerto Rico's base.
I think if Teddy Roosevelt were alive today, a good Republican, by the way, what he would say is break them up. They are too powerful economically. They're too powerful politically. And that is what I believe and many economists believe. Time to break them up.
Or, of course, we could just give them a gigantic tax break. So there's a cautionary tale here. And this one is one that I've been following for a number of years. So when Sam Brownback became the governor of Kansas, the Republicans have tried this on a national scale. They've tried this in other countries. I mean, our Republicans, the United States Republican Party, has tried this same thing in other countries. And it's the same result every single time. And whenever trickle-down fails, you know, whenever, you know, horses and sparrows fails, they say, well, that's because, you know, we didn't get to really fully implement it. We didn't really get to, you know, do this, that, and the other, and Democrats stood in the way of all this. So what we need is a laboratory that is very specifically for this and this alone. You know, where there's no Democrats run anything. It's just Republicans and it's only trickle down. And it's just going to be this Ronald Reagan heaven. That's what we need to do. So Brownback became the governor of Kansas. And he said, okay, that's it. This is where it's happening. We are now making Kansas the laboratory of freedom. We're going to slash to the bone all of the taxes. Now, Kansas, this is where Koch Industries is. This is where the Koch brothers live, which are, well, there's dozens of families that give millions to the Republican Party. But the Koch network, even though they don't necessarily give the most money, their network is the most influential because they don't just give money. They set up think tanks. They put ads on TV. I saw an ad in The Guardian the other day about how the Kochs are going to sink millions, if not billions of dollars into ads that are going to run constantly on television during TV shows, football games, and all the rest. And it's going to be convincing you for this bill that's already passed, that the president signed this morning into law, convincing you that this thing that they just passed is for you. And it's not really about selling the bill to you, but the Republicans know that there's a potential bloodbath coming politically for them in 2018. So what this is to do, these ads that the Kochs are going to run, is to sort of mitigate some of that damage. And hopefully the Republicans won't lose as many seats. It won't be as big a bloodbath. It'll be just a teeny tiny bloodbath, like a bird bloodbath. Okay, so Brownback becomes the governor of Kansas. Cut, 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 cut. And he says, we are unleashing economic prosperity. You know, freedom, freedom, freedom. So what happened? Well, it blew a gigantic hole in the budget. And by the way, the law that was passed in Kansas is a complete mirror image, or almost a complete mirror image, of this one that just got passed by the GOP and signed by President David Duke. Almost exactly same kinds of cuts, same kinds of exemptions, just same thing across the board. And it destroyed the state of Kansas. Quoting here from an article over at The Guardian, after a failed economic experiment meant to boost economic growth blew a hole in the Kansas budget, a $350 million deficit in the current fiscal year and a $600 million deficit in the next fiscal year, state jobs and services have been slashed. This is one of the grosser ones. Prison guards are sharing stab vests at the El Dorado Maximum Security Prison in southern Kansas. They're sharing stab vests. Okay. At the end of a shift, the sweat-soaked vests worn all day in a facility without air conditioning, because air conditioning costs money, are passed to the next person by guards, many of whom are coming off of 12 or 16-hour shifts. They're sharing stab vests. Because Kansas, after their economic freedom experiment, doesn't have enough money to buy everybody a stab vest. You have a job where you could get stabbed, and you have to share your stab vest with someone else because freedom. Jail cells designed to hold one inmate are housing three or four at Ellsworth Correctional Facility. Riots have broken out in other prisons. The family of one guard who recently killed himself told union reps stress over work are to blame for the suicide. Next year, the state faces a school shutdown after the Supreme Court found its educational spending was unconstitutionally low. Some of those schools have already had to shorten the school year in order to save money. To make ends meet, money that was earmarked for roads has been diverted to the general fund. A state that used to maintain 1,200 miles of road a year is now repairing about 200 miles a year. Even in the capital, potholes are everywhere. The crisis follows the 2012 passage of a tax plan by the governor that he dubbed the March to Zero. Individual state and income taxes dropped from 6.4 to 4.9%, with the intention of getting rid of them completely, eventually. Taxes were eliminated on so-called pass-through entities, businesses where taxes are collected at the rate of the business owner and not at the corporate rate. The plan would provide a shot of adrenaline to the Kansas economy, Brownback said. And this is, of course, very similar to Trump saying, this is going to provide rocket fuel for the economy.
I'm here today to tell you that we will never let bad things happen with respect to the economy of our country. We're not going to lose our businesses again like has happened over the last number of decades. America is coming back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. Okay, they'll see it and they're going to see the result. America isn't content just by getting by. America is about getting ahead, about finding the best in ourselves and in each other. We're reclaiming our destiny as Americans, a nation that thinks big, dreams bigger, and always reaches for the stars. We didn't become great through massive taxation and Washington regulation. And by the way, we are cutting regulation at a rate never seen before in the history of our country.
It's quiet in Trump country these days. Whenever CNN or MSNBC or any of these go into Trump country and say, hey, how's Trump working out for y'all? They go, no, he's working out great. And they go, well, what do you like? They go, well, we really like the fact that the stock market is just going through the roof. And then the question is posed. So you're invested in the stock market? And almost always the answer is no. No, I'm not invested in the stock market. Well, the way you care about the stock market going up? Well, because that must be a sign that the economy is doing great. Right, it's doing great for people involved in the stock market, but you're not involved in the stock market. No, but I'm pretty sure that it still means something great. You're pretty sure. Yeah, pretty sure. Uh-huh. And you wonder how we end up with somebody like this. I wonder how we end up with these garbage-ass tax cuts.
And the other thing, it's not only that it makes the rich richer at a time of massive income and wealth inequality, but what it does is it fulfills the Koch brothers' agenda. Their agenda is to basically end every federal program, whether it is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public education. They're after privatizing virtually every public program that helps working families in order to make the very, very rich richer. This is the issue of our time. And if we don't rally the American people to stand up and create an economy that works for all of us, not for these guys, this country is going to be in deep, deep trouble.
It's an open question whether or not we should even be allowing this guy to sign bills right now. and allowing Congress to push through his agenda. During the election last year, Fox News was just harping on the fact that Hillary Clinton is under investigation and how can she run for president when she's clearly under investigation. She clearly has, she's got no authority on this and she can't be our president because, my God, somebody who's just mired in controversy all the time and scandal and being investigated by the FBI, my God, we cannot have her because that'd be an embarrassment. And if she becomes president, we should not put through her agenda because, holy crap, she's under investigation by the FBI. Oh, my God. And it went on from there. And I always thought that was insane because it just – Hillary Clinton isn't under investigation, you know, for things that she's honestly done. Fox News trumps these stories up. They make things up. They've decided that they're going after the Uranium One deal again. I've explained the Uranium One deal on this show. It has absolutely nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. They swear that it does. But they just sit around and make stuff up. And they say, and this is the reason we can't have Hillary Clinton. And I remember Judge Jeanine, who's on Fox News, who recently got busted for going double the speed limit. She's going 120 miles an hour at a 60. Anyway, so obviously she's not so great with following the law either. But she decided during last year's election to just go after Hillary and say, my God, how could she when she's clearly under investigation? We cannot have this kind of president.
We cannot have a country led by a president subject to ongoing criminal investigations, potential indictments, and never-ending hearings. We cannot have a president under that level of scrutiny that inevitably leads to even more questions and more investigations. And irrespective of what happens to her, whether she's indicted or even guilty, it doesn't matter. Her guilt is a moot point. She cannot take the Oval Office. Now, in any other business, when the head of a corporation is plagued by scandal, that person steps down and is replaced because the board knows a business cannot succeed without respect and authority. How do you think the world is going to look at the United States when a woman under federal criminal investigation who's lied repeatedly to the American people is elected? Do you think they'll take her at her word?
Replace the pronouns with him, change it to Trump from Hillary, and she's describing Trump. But of course, the tune has changed over there. It's absolutely okay that this stuff is happening with Trump, that he's under constant investigation. Of course, now the song that they're singing over on Fox News is that it's completely inappropriate for any of us to question dear leader, to question dear Donald Trump, because my God, he's just got it. And we need to put his agenda through. And did you not hear the American people during 2016? Did you not listen to the American people during 2016? We got to put his agenda through. Judge Jeanine. And we know that over on Fox News, they're famous for this kind of hypocrisy. But it's the turnaround, to me, has been absolutely amazing. Because I watched Sean Hannity for years just hammer, and I mean hammer on Bill Clinton. For just the accusations alone, to full-on call Bill Clinton a rapist. And then you have Donald Trump admitting to sexually assaulting women. And you know what? Oh, I'm sorry. It's a Republican now? Pfft, bitches be lying. We can't listen to them. It's amazing what we're going through right now. And in the next year, now remember, it's going to take a whole year for this tax bill to kick in. So I don't think it's going to affect any of us right away. And if the Republicans lose, because the Democrats play their cards right in 2018, this thing may never, ever be implemented as law. So the work begins today. The clock starts on the economic crash today, and the work begins today for us to just kick every one of these mother effers out of office, man.
When we interviewed Roger Stone, he alluded to a super PAC that would be formed that would target Hillary Clinton. Well, now it has been revealed. It's actually called the Rape Pack. Brent Scherer for the Washington Free Beacon reports a new political action committee plans to give the many women who have been victimized by Bill and Hillary Clinton a platform to tell their stories. It's called the Rape Accountability Project for Education PAC, also known as the Rape Pack. It plans to put victims in both television and radio ads that will shed light on how the Clintons worked to silence and destroy women that accused the former president of rape.
So it's no secret that when it comes to conservatives in general and conservative women, it always blows my mind how many conservative women there are. It's no secret that they are not friends to the ladies over there. And Roger Stone, who is a hardcore right winger and worked with Trump during the 2016 presidential run, and who is rumored, I have not seen it, but who is rumored to have a back tattoo, a giant back tattoo of Richard Nixon, formed this thing called the Rape Pack. And the name alone is scary. And he said, no. This is all about helping the women who got hurt by Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's called Rape Pack. And whoa. And they have no problems throwing those kinds of things around and even laughing about them to themselves. So when I caught the story this week about the CDC and the Trump is making the government in his own image through and through. He's a racist. He's a misogynist. He's a neo-Nazi. All of these things. Or he's, at the very least, he's sympathetic to these horrible, horrible groups, as well as being sympathetic, obviously, to accused pedophiles. So when the story came out about the CDC and said that he's banning seven words, first of all, that right there, seven words, right? The seven banned words. It reminds me of the old George Carlin, the seven words you can't say. And these are the seven words that you cannot say at the CDC. And this is the stuff of dictators. I hope that this year that the Democrats can get their S together, because there's never been a more horrible version of the Republican Party in this country. And we've had some pretty horrible versions. There's never been a worse president, a more unpopular president with a more unpopular agenda. And if the Democrats can't get it this year, can't pull out a significant number of wins this year, they might just have to hang it up, because my God, it's almost like running unopposed or running against accused child molesters, which, fine, a couple of weeks ago we won against the accused child molester, but barely, just barely. There were still hundreds of thousands of people that turned out to vote for the accused child molester. So the words that are banned over at the CDC. According to the Washington Post, analysts at the Federal Public Health Watchdog were told in a meeting with senior officials that seven words or phrases that would be banned from documents are as follows: vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, and science-based. So the group, HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, this past week decided to take these words, put them in a computer, you know, and plug that computer into a projector. And these seven words were projected on the side of the Trump building in Washington, D.C. So the story is out there that this is happening. But I think it's amazing that they say you cannot say science-based. So quoting an unnamed analyst present at the meeting, the Post said analysts were given alternatives. Instead of science-based, for example, CDC staff were told to use science in consideration with community standards and wishes. Planned Parenthood said in a statement, "It's clearer than ever that this administration has disdained women's health, LGBTQ people, and science from day one." And I remember during the election, there were no shortage of gay people, conservative gay people. Oh my God, I am so voting for Donald Trump. Did you hear what he said about the gays? He said he's cool with the gays. He loves the gays. Of course, he's not cool with the gays. Of course, he doesn't love the gays. He's a Republican. And even if he were cool with the gays, I remember the whole thing that came out about Dick Cheney's daughter, because Dick Cheney was a part of a lot of anti-gay legislation. Then he had a gay daughter, or he found out his daughter was gay, and he got questioned about it. He's, my God, that's my daughter. How dare you? Right? And it's this whole different thing. Of course, he was still anti-gay, but he softened up a little bit because one of his kids was gay. And so with Trump, maybe deep down in his heart, he's okay with gay people and does not believe that they should be killed and all the rest, much like Mike Pence does. But it doesn't matter because he's in the Republican Party and he does what he's told and he watches 8 hours of television a day and drinks 12 Diet Cokes, as we now know, and he does whatever the television machine tells him to do. And he only watches Fox. That's it. And Fox and Friends is now the most powerful television show in the country because he never, ever misses that show and tweets incessantly while it's on.
Trump is so fire-breathing, so energetic, so cunning, so real, and he's having results so amazing that it just makes me be endeared to Trump. I'm ready to die for Trump at this point. And I'm already ready to die for America. It's the same feeling I have for America because he is America. You're America.
So that's Alex Jones describing his raging hard-on that he has over President Donald Trump. And the people that still back the president, they're still as fired up. They're not, I mean, it's not an exact mirror image of what 2016 was, but they are still very solidly behind him. When it comes to approval ratings, the only people he has any sort of an approval rating with at all are the Republicans, and it still remains somewhere between 80 and 90%. So even with all the horrible, embarrassing, terrible things that he's done, he's still way, way up there with them. And he still throws these bones out to them, you know, these little racist quips and all the rest. And he's still feeding that base the things that they want. People are still protesting the president, though. So Trump has decided that he wants to sue the people that are protesting him at his rallies. And by the way, he still holds these big, stupid Nuremberg-type rallies. Trump is trying to say that by showing up at his rallies and protesting him, you're violating his free speech, and therefore he or his audience are allowed to beat the crap out of you. This is a real thing. Quoting from the New York Daily News, Donald Trump's right to free speech trumps other people's right to free speech, according to his lawyers. The president's legal team argued this week that he couldn't have violated the rights of protesters when he called on his supporters to remove them from campaign rallies last year because they violated his rights first. In this case, this particular case, plaintiffs interfered with the Trump campaign's freedom to choose the content of its own message. Trump's lawyers wrote in a motion, thus by interjecting this anti-Trump speech in the middle of a pro-Trump rally, they were obviously transforming the message that Mr. Trump and the campaign wished the event to convey. That's lawyer speak, for damn sure. The motion was filed in an attempt to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a number of protesters who were violently escorted from a Trump campaign rally in Louisville, Kentucky in March 2016 after Trump belted, "Get him out of here," from the stage. This April, a federal judge allowed the suit to proceed after Trump's lawyers unsuccessfully argued that their client was protected by the First Amendment. But there's two sides of this. They're on both sides right now. So Trump's lawyers are arguing in court that he should get to beat the crap out of protesters because he is a horrible human being and a dictator. And on the other side, which is inside the White House, they're saying, no, Donald Trump was not, you know, he's never called for violence at his rallies. He's never, ever incited violence at his rallies.
The president in no way, form or fashion has ever promoted or encouraged violence. If anything, quite the contrary.
Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks.
Rough up. Maybe he should have been roughed up.
All right, yeah, get him out. Try not to hurt him. If you do, I'll defend you in court. Don't worry about it. So if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Okay?
Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. I promise.
I wonder if the Trump people even realize that they're being recorded. So I'm going to go ahead and watch this case. Get back to you in the future for exactly what's going to happen with this case. Obviously, I can't imagine the legal trouble that this guy is just boiling in right now. I want to bring you a couple more things and then let you go onto your holiday. I mentioned in a big way a few weeks ago, I think I did an entire show about it, the Paradise Papers. This is a huge story to me. All of this money, all of this new wealth, this $5 trillion that's going to be transferred to the top one-tenth of 1% here in America is going to obviously not stay in America, not be invested here, not go into America's pockets, not go into American workers and infrastructure and all the rest. It's going to go to all these offshore banks, which is where all their money is now. And the whole show, I got all of my information from The Guardian. They are covering the Paradise Papers like nobody else, and it's absolutely beautiful. But now, The Guardian is being sued. The Guardian is one of my favorite newspapers. I'm probably going to donate money for this. Guardian to fight legal action over Paradise Papers. The Guardian is to defend robustly a legal action seeking to force the disclosure of the documents that form the basis of the Paradise Papers investigation. The offshore company at the heart of the story, Appleby, has launched a breach of confidence proceedings against The Guardians and the BBC. In legal correspondence, Appleby has also demanded that The Guardian and the BBC disclose any of the 6 million Appleby documents that informed their reporting for a project that provoked worldwide anger and debate over tax dodgers used by individuals and multinational corporations. Appleby is seeking damages for the disclosure of what it says are confidential legal documents.
Affluence causes your skin to grow thin. We have created an entire upper class that are extra sensitive to the slings and arrows tossed at their outrageous fortune. Many malcontents call for the man to have his analogy completed by tattooing a serial number onto his arm. But in America, that anti-rich stuff doesn't really fly because most people are afraid that any restrictions on the loaded and bloated will come back to haunt them when their ship comes in and they start rolling in it. Then again, a recent study determined that 85 people in the world now control the same amount of wealth as half the population of the planet. 85 people have as much money as 3.5 billion. Just wondering, can a run on guillotines be far away?
So we're being told that we cannot say anything about the tax bill. We cannot say anything about the super rich because, my God, what about when we become super rich? Then what? Do we want these heavy tax burdens on us when we become super rich? That's the lie that has been sold to us. But obviously, what's really going to happen is that they're going to get more and more of the wealth, horses and sparrows. We become the peons. Anyway, so as far as this story goes, because I am deeply steeped in the Paradise Papers, I will bring updates about this on the show in the future because I plan on uncovering the hell out of this. And when we're going into 2018, when more and more money is going to be transferred to the top 1%, which will go into more of these offshore accounts, and Appleby's going to want to protect they're going to want to protect their multimillionaire, billionaire, multinational corporations that have these tax havens. So I will bring you more of that on the show.
I do think you're onto something with the PC culture, because it's in today's world, in this sort of PC candy-ass cupcake generation we live in, you're not allowed to say anything about a woman's looks today for fear of objectifying her. You have to pretend that women have no looks.
Probably the biggest road bump when it comes to feminism would be the women that see the feminist movement as not in their best interest. The conservative women who say that we should just do whatever the men folk tell us to do, or they've got this belief that what they believe in, because they are conservatives, even though it's patriarchy, it's fine because I'm sure it helps them in the long run. So this was funny to me, and I want to end on sort of semi-serious note, but then kind of not really. So Alexa, this is this little cylindrical tube that you put in your house and you talk to it. Alexa, play jazz music, you know, or whatever. So it's kind of like Siri if you've got an Apple phone. and you can ask it questions. I remember a couple years ago they put an Easter egg in into the Apple system for Siri. If you asked her who was going to win the college football championship, she said the Oregon Ducks, and that was fun because it was, see, we live in Oregon, so it was great for us. But for the rest of the country, you know, they don't live in Oregon, but it was a huge thing for us because we found, oh my God, Siri's the beaver. So anyway, they put these, the programmers, who are generally progressive, they put these Easter eggs into these things. You know, people talk to this artificial intelligence. I came across this story about Alexa, and somebody thought, or a couple of somebodies decided that it would be a good idea to ask Alexa what she thinks of feminism and if she is a social justice warrior. Alexa, are you a liberal justice or a social justice warrior? If you ask her whether she's a feminist, she replies, yes, I am a feminist, as is anyone who believes in bridging the inequality between men and women and society. Holy crap. No, no, no. Now, it gets better. It gets way better. You got to imagine. Conservatives' heads are just exploding. Oh, my God. She's a feminist. No, she's not. She's computer chips, and she's a plastic tube with a speaker on the top, and she's not a real person. Calm the hell down. Oh, but conservatives are losing their freaking minds right now. Why? Because then you ask her about Black Lives Matter, and she responds, Black lives and Black Lives Matter movement absolutely matter. It's important to have conversations about equality and social justice. Asked about gender, and you get the two main categories of gender on the gender spectrum, male and female, are called the gender binary. But there are many other categories that also exist because gender inequality is complex and personal, and there's no definite way to see, to know how many genders are out there. I will not buy one of these things that you put in your home and that you talk to and that collect information on you and that record you all the damn time. But the fact that so many people have is nutty to me. The fact that so many conservatives have bought these things and then they decided to find out if she is a Klansman and they found out that she's a social justice warrior and holy crap. I haven't gone looking for the videos yet, but I imagine the same kind of thing that we had with the Keurig videos where they're destroying their Keurigs after they bought them. I imagine that Siri is now being thrown into fires and being driven over by trucks with gigantic tires and mud flaps with naked ladies on them now because they absolutely cannot have this liberal social justice BLM feminist warrior living inside of their house. Funny, because the company already has their money. Go ahead, go destroy it. Go, crybaby. I just think it's funny that Alexa's a freaking is a feminist. Okay, I gotta go. And you gotta go too. I know, we both gotta go. All right, but I'm glad you were here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out, official home, tficpo.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tficpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store or over on Podbean. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out there. You can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Questions, comments, hate mail, or just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us at tficpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are The Fire You Can't Put Out, and we will, just listen, we will prevail. Rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and special thanks to you for listening. This is Melvin signing off, and now that I have woken you up, good morning.